Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So hope you've all had an awesome week. The last few weeks, we've been in the book of Galatians. And we're going to do, I think, one more show, which is today, from chapter 3. And again, I would encourage you, if you go to one of my websites, which is www.giftofgraceministries.org, giftofgraceministries.org. All the radio shows are archived there back to 2009. And so you can actually listen to any show back to the beginning of 2009 if you want to put yourself through that. Or if you want to just hear the Galatian ones, it's the last, four or five shows, I think. Sometimes you can tell by the title, sometimes you can't. I always try to title each show something, but then sometimes that makes it hard to know what scripture it was from. But anyway, we ended up in the toward the end of chapter 3 last time, and there's some points there that I want to go over again, because for those of you that know me, you know that I spend a lot of time in all my ministries teaching how the New Testament has its roots, of course, in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, which Jews and Jewish believers call the Tanakh, which is, I guess a more proper name for it, but Old Testament, New Testament kind of describes the overall situation. So either way is good. And of course, the scripture is one continuous work. It is written over, 1,500 years or so, and it's internally consistent. It describes the plan of salvation. It talks about, it is the revelation of God. It's his very word. It's alive. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul tells us, he writes to Timothy that the Holy Spirit breathes out all of the scripture, not just the New Testament, which was just being written when Paul wrote these words to Timothy. So obviously, it includes the Old Testament, the Tanakh, as well. And so, since it is a continuum, since it is a panorama, the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New. And Augustine once said that the New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old is in the New revealed, because if you look through the Old Testament, you see that it all points to Messiah. It all points to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And that's why there's so much about blood atonement, and that's why there's so much about rituals, and that's why there's so much about rebellion against the law, because there are 613 laws which have to be kept perfectly in order for a person to be righteous. And we know that that's an impossible feat, because that can't just be done for a minute or a day. That would have to be all your life. And so we need grace. We need the Messiah. And Jesus himself says in chapter 5, verse 39, that all the scriptures testify of him. He says, all the scrolls are about me. And so in the book of Galatians, we know that Paul was rebuking the Galatians for following another gospel, which was not a gospel at all. They had been influenced by people telling them that they had to go back to the law, that they were mixing law with the gospel, doing what we would call a mixture of law and grace, and feeling that being told by certain people, which he called false brethren, who snuck into the assembly, kind of a, subversive type of thing, although we don't know, they may have had good motives, but Paul looks at it as a subversive type of thing, that in order to follow Jesus, you had to also come into the covenant with Moses and basically follow the law. And we went through how he rebuked Peter about this and how he told them that no, grace is now the covenant, and we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. And so, and not by the law, I should say, as well. So, and we pointed out what I think is really an important point, which is in chapter 3, verse 5, when he says, a little bit before, let's see, I think in verse 2, sorry. He says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by faith? In other words, if you were scrupulously following the law, is that how you received the Holy Spirit? Or did you receive it by faith? And of course, the answer is they received it by faith. You know, and it goes into not just their time, but also in our time. The Holy Spirit does not come into your life, does not fill you, if you're following the law really, really well. If you're keeping the law, and that becomes the focus of your life. No, the Holy Spirit comes into you when you become a believer and lives in you because of your faith in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, and that you live your life subjected to him, repenting of what you've done, and going on with your life of faith. The Holy Spirit guides you through that. And so Paul's point is, you don't get that by the works of the law, you get it by faith. And he goes on to say that Abraham believed, and it was counted as righteousness. This is said many times in the scripture. Abraham followed, obeyed, did what God told him to do, believed in the promises of God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So Paul says, by faith, we become sons of Abraham. Now, he's writing to Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. Probably most of you, if not all of you who are listening, are Gentiles. If any of my Jewish believer friends are listening, that's awesome. Thanks for listening. And I always like to point out that even though we, Gentiles, are not biologically descended from Abraham, we are his spiritual children. And this is what I want to talk a little bit about today. Because when Paul says in verse 11, no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, because the just shall live by faith. And so there was no law at Abraham's time. God gave him the law of the circumcision, which he carried out, and he followed the word that he got from God and obeyed what he was told to do, right down to almost sacrificing Isaac, his son. He obeyed, he had faith, and the scripture says it was counted as righteousness. The faith was counted as righteousness. But I want to get to Galatians 3:13, because this is such a powerful verse for us who are Gentiles and have Abraham as our spiritual father. You know, Abraham, of course, his original name was Abram, and then he became Abraham, father of many nations, because all the Jews are descended from Abraham. And all the Arabs are descended from Abraham. So he is the father of many nations, as you can see. But from our point of view, the important one is he is the father of the Israelites through Isaac, the Arabs through Ishmael. But the point is that Isaac was the child of promise. There were three promises given to Abraham. And you know this, and if you want to learn this in a little more detail, I can also refer you to a YouTube page that I'm in the process of making. It's almost finished. It's called The Torah Class. So if you go to the, if you go to YouTube and search for The Torah Class, it should pop up. There are 33 sessions, and it is, for those of you that know Torah, I wouldn't recommend that you do it. It's very superficial. It's meant for Christians that don't really know much about Torah. In fact, many people, many Christians, many pastors, I have come to, kind of sadly recognizes, they think the word Torah refers to the whole Old Testament, which, of course, the Torah is the, only the first five books, also called the books of Moses. But when God calls Abraham in the book of Genesis, changes his name from Abram to Abraham, he makes three promises. First promise is land. Second promise is descendants. So we know that 66 or 70 people, depending how you count them, went into Egypt. That was basically Jacob's family. While they were in Egypt, they became a nation. And 600 and some thousand men came out of Egypt at the Exodus. So when you add in women and children, because the only people counted were males over the age, or were 13 and older. So young boys, girls, and women were not counted. So when you add all that in, you know, there may have been a couple of million people coming out of Egypt. But the issue is that they became a nation. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, tells the people, the promised Abraham was descendants, and here you all are. In this huge camp that's been traveling for 40 years through the wilderness, and now we are at the banks of the Jordan, about to go into the land, which was the second promise, land. And so descendants and land, that's great. That's for Israel. But the third promise is the one that's important to us. And that is that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through you. Meaning Abraham, all the nations of the earth. When he got this promise, he was a 75-year-old man who went from present-day Iraq to present-day Israel. And it's interesting, when my wife and I go to Israel and we stay in this really nice little hotel that's, well, kind of more like a bed and breakfast than it is a hotel, but it's really, really cool, and it's in a really interesting neighborhood. A couple hundred yards from that hotel is this panorama. I forgot the name of it. It's, I think, the Goldman Panorama, but it's somebody's panorama that overlooks the city. And the Jew, and there's a plaque there too that says this, but the Jewish tradition says that Abraham, this is the spot where Abraham first saw Mount Moriah, which became the Temple Mount in David's time. And this was the mountain that he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac on. So that's pretty cool. But the third promise was that all the nations would be blessed through him, because, of course, this refers to Jesus. This refers to Yeshua, the Messiah, who is his descendant, biologically his descendant, from the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, of course, he comes through the line of Judah. He's from the tribe of Judah, and of course comes down through the line from King David. And so it sounds all very Jewish in that sense, and of course it is very Jewish in that sense, because Jesus is Jewish, not was Jewish, he is Jewish. God revealed himself in Judaism. But how would all the nations, the Hebrew word of course is goyim, which are people who are outside of the covenant. They are not Israel. They have no covenant with God. They are not in the law. All these nations, all these people would be blessed by him. So Paul addresses this, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. This is, you really should, this is one of the passages you should really memorize, or you should at least have it paraphrased in your head. And he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not through the law, not through works, but through faith. So what is he saying here? Jesus redeems us, all of us, not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles. Jesus redeems us from the curse of the law. He calls the law a curse. Is it a curse? Is it evil? Of course not. The law is holy. God gave the law. The problem is that we cannot keep the law in our fallen humanity. We can't keep the law for a day, let alone our whole lives. And despite what those Pharisees said, they weren't keeping the law either. So the law becomes a curse, not because the law is a curse, but because we focus our lives on trying to follow it, and we can't do it. And so the law condemns us. The law has no remedy for your situation. It condemns you if you don't follow it. So Paul sees this as a bondage to the law. In Romans and Galatians, he talks all the time about the curse of the law and the bondage to the law. Because when your main concern is law, your main concern is, how am I doing with the law? And so we're not going to get into all the particulars of that. But now he's saying the law is not going to justify flesh. It's going to be grace that's going to justify flesh. And we live in a covenant of grace. That's why the gospel is called good news. And again, this does not mean, as many Christians will say, that the law was some evil thing, that the law was some horrible taskmaster. No, the law was very holy. The covenant was very holy. And God says, be holy because I am holy. And the way you're holy is to follow my law. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He's not talking about 10 commandments. He's talking about all the law, all the mitzvot. But anyway, Paul says, Jesus becomes a curse for us. He becomes the curse. How does he become a curse? Well, we know that on the day he died, all the sins of all the world were put on him. He became sin. He became the curse. This is, of course, very well stated in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is why I always tell people, if you're only going to memorize one verse, that should be the verse. And that verse is, he made him who knew no sin to be sin. To be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the Messiah, Jesus, becomes sin. Paul says in Galatians, he becomes the curse. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says he becomes sin, so that we can be righteous. Our righteousness is in him because we can't keep the law on our own. We can't save ourselves, as people like to say, and that's true. So one way he's a curse is that all the curses of the earth, of every human being from Adam and Eve until the last one, which I hope is today, till the last one, all those sins are put on him. He becomes a curse. And then he also becomes a curse because he hangs on a tree. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that you're cursed if you hang from a tree. The Jews never hung people because they thought it was disgusting. The cross is basically hanging somebody on a tree. The Romans did it. It was their method of execution for non-citizens, for slaves, for criminals that were non-citizens. A citizen could not be crucified because it was too horrible. This is why Paul was beheaded, because he was a citizen. If you read the book of Acts, he always points out he's a citizen. You know, so somebody starts whipping him, and he says, hey, I'm a citizen. And then they say, oh, well, wait a minute. We better not whip you anymore. He had rights as a citizen. So the Jews thought anyone who hung from a tree was cursed. So Yeshua, Jesus, hung from a tree. The cross is commonly called a tree in the scriptures. in the letters. 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. The blessing of Abraham on the Gentiles. This was the promise that the nations would be blessed through Abraham. So through Abraham's descendant, Jesus, who's cursed and hangs on a tree, promises come to the Gentiles. We receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Because of that situation, we get that promise by faith. And we get that promise of the Holy Spirit living in us through faith, not by the works of the law. So this is such a powerful package, a powerful passage, and it tells us why the gospel is good news. Following 613 laws is not good news. It can be a drudgery. It's definitely not good news. Grace is good news. Does it mean you can just do whatever you feel like if it's covered by grace? Absolutely not. But when you do fall, you are immediately restored. And so this is good news. And so he points out this was the promise to Abraham about the Gentiles. And he goes on in verse 16 to, I want to read this all because I see the time is already going. But in verse 16, it talks about the promises. And, you know, it says, in his seed, the Christ comes from. Messiah comes from Abraham's seed. And this is how the Gentiles, the nations, the Goyim, are going to be blessed. We, as Gentiles, don't have, in the times before the cross, we did not have a covenant. There was no way a Gentile could be acceptable to God. And someday we'll do a show about that, or if you come to my One in Messiah ministry on Friday nights, we generally talk about that. But in verse 18, Paul says, if the inheritance is from the law, then it's not a promise. God gave it to Abraham as a promise. He gave promises to Abraham. If a promise comes, if the inheritance is because of the law, then it's not a promise. You have to earn the promise. You know, if grace is unmerited favor, if you have to earn your salvation, you have to somehow earn the grace. So it's not unmerited anymore. It's merited. It becomes a contract, not a covenant. And so the law showed sin and showed what your situation was, but the blessing comes from the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham, which was the Messiah. And so the law, and I want to just, the time is almost up. I want to get to verse 24. Verse 24 says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So, in other words, the law becomes the tutor that takes you to the cross. In two ways. Number one is the law shows you, prefigures the Messiah. And when I was a new believer, I started studying Torah, and I saw all these things that prefigured the Messiah. Joseph and Moses and Aaron and certain things that they did were prefigurements, were types of Messiah Jesus. So the law shows you that. But the main thing Paul's talking about is you understand your failings, and you say, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep these laws. I'm always failing. And that's what takes you to the cross, and that's what takes you to grace. And this tutor, the Greek word that's used there, is someone who took rich kids to school where they learned. So in other words, this tutor took you to the school building, took you to the academy or whatever it was that they had. So here he says that law takes you to the cross. And you say, I can't keep the law, and here I am. So down in 28, we're going to end with this. So therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So even though we're not descended from Abraham, we're Abraham's seed. We're heirs to what Abraham inherited. Whew, that's a lot. I love Galatians. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I think next week we'll start something else. So join us next week on The Gift of Grace, and we'll read and teach God's word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week. A hand raised in faith.